Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and that's our theme music from Joe Cocker called Respect Yourself, which has some great messages in it about respecting ourselves and also respecting others. Well, I'm Mental Health Radio host here in Planet FM, Sheldon Brown, and we're pre-recording this morning as our guest was unavailable at 12:30. Now, Take It From Us is brought to you and funded by the Ember Wellbeing Trust, and that's the first time that I've actually announced that name. The Ember Wellbeing Trust takes over from Framework Trust due to a merger between Connect and Framework. Now, a campaign launched in 2013 to support the health and particularly the emotional and mental health of Cantabrians, and I qualify as one of those, after the earthquakes, has now been completed and evaluated. Called All Right, and that's All Right with a question mark behind it, the campaign was led by the Canterbury District Health Board and the Mental Health Foundation. And a report on this wellbeing project has produced rich learnings which can be used to inform other community work nationally. The evaluation was prepared for the All Right campaign and also for mental health advocacy and peer support. That's a mental health consumer organisation based in Christchurch who we've had on Take It From Us a number of times. It is known as MAPS, M-H-A-P-S. So here's Beth Nobes from MAPS to talk about All Right. Beth, as I say, thank you very much for being available fairly early on a Tuesday morning.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Sheldon. It's very nice to chat to your audience.
Right. Well, you did share with me that it was the anxiety that got you up early, not the alarm.
That's definitely true. But you know, anxiety has some benefits, so I'm not going to argue with it.
No, well, actually, I read an article yesterday that was sent to me by a psychologist from Anxiety New Zealand, and she says that anxiety is a gift. Or the article, in fact, says anxiety is a gift.
I know, I have to agree with that. I think once you get it into control, just to the point where you're not waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day having to run to the loo, you know, just short of that point, there can be quite a lot of advantages.
Right. Well, I have to run to the loo at my age about three times a night, and it's nothing to do with anxiety. So. Anyway, we're talking today about this evaluation of the All Right campaign. I mean, what sort of impact do you think All Right had over the last, I guess it's the last 6 years, isn't it? It was launched in 2013.
It has been a while. I'll give you a bit of a background. It was established as a kind of a response to the generalized distress that was felt in Christchurch following the earthquakes. I mean, if a person had a family member who had died or had been physically injured themselves, it was pretty easy to see where the distress would be, and to, you know, there was victim support services and medical services, but the entire population had great distress, and none of us had ever gone through anything like that before, so something needed to be done. A lot of people just didn't know how to feel, or how they were supposed to feel, or how to support others, or what to do with all the really strong emotions that they had, the strongest that they'd really ever felt in their lives. And so the Mental Health Foundation already had quite a lot of experience with mental health promotion. And there were a lot of very creative, well-connected people working there in Christchurch, and they were able to hit the ground running. So with the CDHB funding, a collaboration between them and community and public health, that kind of doubled the expertise, because community and public health were really good at regular health promotion.
Yeah, so did MAPS have a role in this, or are you just, receiving the evaluation for your own information?
MAPS didn't have a role in any of this over the last, you know, 5-6 years, except for the fact that before the quakes happened, and then sometimes we get quite tired about talking before the quakes. We'd really like to not have to do that much, but we still are. The precursor for MAPS, which was myself and an organization called Psychiatric Consumers Trust, we were on the same floor of a building with Mental Health Foundation. So there was really good connection between the health promoters at the Mental Health Foundation and all of the people who were doing mental health advocacy in Canterbury. So we actually shared quite a lot back and forth about how things were going for our community, so had good relationships once the disaster happened. So if there was any point at which somebody wanted to know how to do something or how something was going, we were all still in town and we all knew who to talk to.
Right. I mean, I guess MAPS focus is on people with lived experience. I mean, you're called an advocacy and peer support. Was there any evidence that those with lived experience of mental health were more seriously affected by the consequences of the earthquakes?
That's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked that, because I couldn't figure out how to get to that point if what we were talking about today was the All Right campaign. So, strangely, right after the earthquake hit, we had a really good connection with our mental health service providers at the DHB. And they were really quick to put a lot of very good things in place and to get us all meeting together with each other to have good cross-sector connections when all of our offices had broken and to find out what people were able to do. So, for instance, the advocacy team set up in my dining room at the table, and we were able to do advocacy with our community within, I think, say, 10 days of the quake. And we were running the drop-in center at the time, and so that was closed for a couple of weeks, but mostly because it was behind a police cordon. So we just couldn't get to the door, and as soon as we were able to get to the door, then we were able to open it. And every service across town ran some sort of version of their usual service, so there was stuff going on. But what we found when we were all braced and waiting for this huge onslaught of peers to come, you know, pouring in looking for help, was that they didn't show up. And there was quite a lot of thinking about it. Other people showed up. People we'd never met before showed up. But we were surprised by our own community's resilience. And we came to understand eventually that because our community had been through many disasters, just not public ones, they actually had resilience that other people hadn't taken account of. So they were, they knew who their neighbors were maybe. They were living in a social housing complex with people that they knew. They had, you know, friends from the drop-in center, so if their fauna was disconnected from them, they had kind of replaced them with their good connection. They knew how to get a hold of us or how to get a hold of Te Awa o Te Ora, or how to get a hold of Comcare, or, you know, they had all that. They had PRN, they had good relationships with their GPs or with their case managers. So it was quite fascinating to see that it was a good 5-6 months before our community fell down. And in the interim, everybody else fell down, which is why they needed an All Right campaign. And when our community fell down, they fell a long way down, they fell hard, and it was hard to get up because they had used up everything
right
before they finally came back.
Was the MAPS offices damaged in the earthquakes so that you were unable to operate from there, or was it just that you were behind the police cordon and it was inaccessible?
In the February quake, after the September quake, we got back into the building. It was a very sturdy building, and we got back into it. But after the February quake, we never got into it again because a survey showed that the ground under it had shifted enough that it was a couple of degrees off 90 degrees. So there was just a hint of a tilt to the building, and that was it. As far as anybody's concerned, that now needs to be demolished. There's no fixing that. So we never got back in the building. We lost all our computers. We lost all of our notes, you know, all the furniture, my cardigan, you know. It was just, it's that shock. You go off to a meeting one day and then you never get back to your things again.
Right. Well, we probably, I'm sort of directing the questions towards what happened during the earthquake, but in fact, we're talking about this All Right campaign.
Right.
Can you explain what some of the messages were? I mean, this all right with a question mark. That, what does that sort of underline? What is it trying to capture as a message?
Well, it's fascinating to talk about it now because, of course, it's been all around me for over 6 years, and I take it, you know, it's become part of the wallpaper and something that's quite accepted. It was quite important for everyone in Canterbury to be able to get the same messages of acceptance, self-care, connection, and so the design of the program was something that was looked into. Part of this paper that I've got spread in front of me to be able to quote to you includes some of the research that went into starting the campaign. So there was a paper that they referred to in their article that says that to be effective, psychoeducation interventions must emphasize empowerment and support and build on strengths, capabilities, and self-sufficiency. Facilitation of community empowerment processes involves, in part, assessing and or developing the social and individual competencies that contribute to people being empowered and being able to identify and represent their needs during the response recovery phase of the disaster. So on the basis of that kind of research, they wanted to be able to establish messages that were positive, but also were kind of questioning. So there were posters that came out. I think that's the first thing I remember seeing. There were posters everywhere. And they also reproduced them on postcards, which they dropped off at mental health service places so that everybody had things that they could hand out to people. Some of the posters were banners the size of a wall. So when you were at the hospital, there'd be a whole wall covered with one of these messages. And they designed them to be in really bright colors and have a kind of a cartoon sort of drawing to it that was lighthearted and you know, friendly to look at. And then their logo was a very easy kind of writing, but also had that question mark all the time. Mm. So some of the messages were, it's all right to feel shaky sometimes.
Right.
It's all right to feel lucky. I have to tell you, I looked at that one quite a lot. When was your last mate date? So this one would have had two men having a cup of coffee, because we all know that men don't work at their social relationships as easily as women do. And when things go wrong, they often are the people who've got nowhere to go, nobody to talk to. They didn't realize that they had such a small group of friends. Another one said, when was your last moment of wonder? And that had a picture of the night sky. So it was a matter of bringing people back to what they did have control over, what they could look at. Another was, when did you last get your boogie on? And that just had a person dancing in their living room with earphones on. So,
right.
So the messages were around, what have you got the ability to do on your own behalf to lighten things up? Can you share your strength with somebody else if you're going through a good time? If you're not going through a good time, that's okay. I think it was the that's okay message that was really valuable.
But the campaign title was a very sort of abbreviated way of asking whether you're all right.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And making you think about that a lot and then ask other people. Because asking other people was the other way. There were nowhere near enough helpers in town. We had to support each other on a personal basis. We had to tap into our neighbors and the people that we work beside and help each other through things, because there just weren't enough workers otherwise.
Right. Well, it sounds as though you opened up your own home as a peer support center. You mentioned that very briefly in the start of the interview.
Well, we did. The advocates at the time, I had a team of three advocates. I was just on the cusp of getting the AOD peer support team transferred over from a non-peer service over to a peer service, us. So it was like that all happened at the same kind of chaos, and it's been interesting. But the advocates could come work at my dining room table. I had Wi-Fi, so they could access websites to tell their clients things. They could make phone calls from their cell phones. We had cell phones and that kind of thing. But it was really the getting together. It was quite necessary for the advocates to be able to touch base with each other. It's the funny thing about work. You know, it's only work. It isn't life. And when we're going through difficult times and work is hard, we try to remind ourselves that, you know, this is just how I get my money, and I've got 16 other hours in the day to do whatever. No, actually, work is where you build your second family. And we discovered that not being able to see each other regularly was quite another kind of stress. So getting together around my dining room table for 3 hours, a couple times a week, phoning our clients from there, exchanging information, made a huge difference to our ability to make things seem slightly normal again.
It's all about connectedness, isn't it?
It is. It always is. It doesn't matter how you start out. You always end up there at the end.
Right. Well, let's take a music break. Beth, just hang on your mobile there, and wouldn't take it from us. It's going to play a little bit of B.B. King. Obviously a bit biased towards the blues, and this one is called I Want You So Bad.
So sad.
Well, that's B.B. King with I Want You So Bad. As I say, a bit biased towards the blues, and it was my choice of music today since Declan is not involved in this pre-record. Our guest today on Take It From Us is Beth Nobes from MAPS. Actually, I don't know your title, Beth.
At this point, following a merger of a number of peer organizations back just after the quakes, I am now the Service Delivery Manager of Advocacy of MAPS. So I didn't, I may have been the manager of the advocacy service before the merger, but I did not take up the role of being general manager of the merged organization, which I'm very glad. Staying back down one level means that I get to still do a bit of advocacy, work with a really great team, still be the networking representative for MAPS, get out, go to meetings, that kind of thing. So I'm in a really great spot right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I'm aware of who was appointed general manager at MAPS. I know there was a surprising departure of the general manager who has been our guest or was our guest on Take It From Us a couple of times. Her name was...
Sue Ricketts. So she took up the first role. So there was a merger between Psychiatric Consumers Trust that I managed and Anxiety Support Canterbury that Ian managed and Bipolar Support Canterbury that Francis managed. And none of us really wanted to do the big job of merging these three organizations. So Sue put her hand up and we quite gratefully allowed her to take over. She had worked with me prior to the merger and I was very confident about her skills and her abilities and her great systems. She's very, very organized and very compassionate, lovely person. So she got this train going and kept it going for, I don't know, I lost track of time, maybe six-ish years. And then she retired back in 2017. And one of our staff members, Fiona Clapham Howard, who is the peer support manager, she took up the general manager role. And then we got another person in to be the peer support manager. And I just keep sitting back in the same place, watching everything go on around me, doing my job and enjoying it.
Right. Well, we're talking today about this All Right campaign that has recently been evaluated by the Mental Health Foundation and the Canterbury District Health Board. So what impact do you think the campaign had in Canterbury?
What intrigues me is that since the quakes, there have actually been quite a number of campaigns that have been really great. So the positive effect of the first stage of the campaign, of having those bright colored posters show up everywhere, of having people being able to find a conversational starting point. So that was actually, you know, people don't always know how to start a conversation about are you all right? But when somebody around you has got a poster that's asking it all the time, then it's a little bit easier to do so. And following that, they did a series of posters and campaigns around how to address anxiety in children. And then they created a bunch of resources that were in different languages. Now, I've just reminded myself of all of this by going to their website. And then the easiest thing you can do to find out more information about what I'm saying today is to just Google All Right, and it's going to take you to a huge website full of lots and lots of information and lots of resources. It's become not just for Cantabrians, it's become a resource for everyone else, and it's become a really reliable, there's good solid evidence and good solid responses to people. So this information, these posters, these messages have been really quite easy to grow and to spread around. They've got a really good result.
It's been a sort of progressive, continuous campaign under the title of All Right.
Yes, yes, and they just grow it in whatever direction is needed. One of their most fun campaigns has been the compliment campaign. So they produced a bunch of posters, bright colored again, that had Tara slips at the bottom, and they were pre-printed compliments that you could give out, saying things like, you'd win gold in my friend's Olympic, or you're better than ninjas and pirates combined, or you're snazzier than a water skiing T-Rex. So you can see how much lighthearted pleasure and joy and compliments and fun keeps getting woven into these things. It's very easy for an entire community to completely slip down into a gray hole of frustration and depression. So all the effort at the colorfulness and the fancy posters and the humorous things that were made, these have really been very helpful for the mood and had a really great impact in Canterbury for people. And it's also, it's quite sweet when you come back to your office from doing something and one of these slips has just sort of shown up on your keyboard. It gives you a bit of a look for the day. It's all very kind of, it's all very anonymous. I've got one sitting here that says, you're warm, wonderful, and wise. So I think, oh, that's very sweet.
Dub, dub, dub.
That's right.
Yeah, well, was it basically sort of poster-written material, brochures? Was there a media campaign as well?
Well, there is, and it's possible to get, they've got papers and they've got any kind of the research available there. They produce material that you can collect. You can go out and get the posters. They've got buttons. So all you have to do is tap into community and public health, and then you can use any of these resources for your own group.
Right.
One of the interesting things they started last year was a campaign to broaden the definition of manly. So in an effort to kind of reduce toxicity, they grew a whole lot of resources, posters and things that would redefine what was manly.
What was manly, did you say?
Yeah. So it's really been these really great ideas and the people that they've set up that put out this material, and it has addressed the awakening anxiety and the fear that has followed the mosque shootings. So now we've got this enormous resource on tap suddenly when a new disaster happens, and all they need to do is to be able to tweak it. So they've put out a whole lot of new material very recently. Material about taking time, about being, it's okay to talk to each other, it's okay to need a hug, that kind of thing. And that's been very helpful to see that just kind of whoosh into effect pretty immediately.
But it sounds as though, the basis of this campaign was empowerment, focusing on your strengths, which is a feature of mental health, isn't it? The strengths-based approach to recovery. That's what underlined this All Right campaign.
It is, and I think there's a binding effect. This is what I've noticed. There's a binding effect in a community when there's a message near you that says it's okay to feel down sometimes or it's okay to feel lucky. First of all, saying that out loud isn't something we're used to. There's a strong, stiff upper lip British kind of attitude amongst New Zealanders. You know, just get on with it. Don't share your misery. Yeah, that kind of thing. But there is a need to know that how you feel changes. So you could be having a good day and then have a bad day. And those of us in our community, I mean, that's the other thing, you know, we mental health service users, we know about this whole roller coaster thing. But the rest of the community had no idea that after a disaster, they could feel lucky and then feel guilty for feeling lucky. You know, that's a huge thing. And it's nice to have it be a public thing that everybody can kind of come to understanding about. It gave people a starting place for their conversations. It gave people permission to ask each other how they were. I was at the airport seeing some friends off about, I don't know, 2 weeks after the earthquakes. And because my friends were leaving, it made me quite sad. I held it together till they were gone, of course. But then as soon as I turned around and left them, I just broke into tears. And out of nowhere, a total stranger came up to me and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I'm just sad. My friends are leaving." And they gave me a hug. Right. And I have to tell you, that still brings tears to my eyes. I have no idea who she was. Don't know if she worked at the airport or was just doing the same as me, picking somebody up, dropping someone off. Out of nowhere, a total stranger was willing to wrap their arms around me because I was crying. And that is the new Christchurch, the new Canterbury, and it's There's a lot of it still in effect today.
So that's a positive outcome of the earthquake tragedies, and hopefully it will be a positive outcome of the mosque tragedy as well, that there will be more sort of connection, contact, care, if you like.
I do have a little bit in the way of statistics here, if you'd like me to cite some of that. Again, if you go on the... Oh, no, I think I got these by Googling something else. So I Googled evaluation of All Right campaign, and there have actually been two of them. So the one that you're the most interested in is where they surveyed our community around the effects, and I will get to that. But the foundation that they laid down for comparison was that in 2016, they did a big evaluation of the campaign, and they found some really good results, such as that 87% of those who were surveyed could say that the messages were helpful, and 73% said that they made them think about how they were feeling, and 42% have reported that they had done some activity as a result of the campaign. And that's pretty impressive, because that's 42% of people who may have felt lost, who have sat alone in their and they're wherever, just feeling like they were out of control of their life and not knowing what to do about it. So the All Right campaign also referred a lot to the five ways of well-being that the Mental Health Foundation promotes. And so by tying all those things together, it was reinforcing the messages and giving people another place to go, because the Mental Health Foundation has a lot of other resources and information as well.
So the five ways of well-being, I can't quote them, I'm afraid. Have you got them there?
You're very mean, Sheldon. This would be like the seven dwarves. I will be able to come up with almost all of them. One is to connect. One is to learn. One is to get active. One is to give.
And the fifth one, connect. Did you say connect?
Well, let's say I didn't. Pretend I didn't. I don't know.
Right.
You can look them up on the website.
Yep. Okay. Mental health. That's mentalhealth.org.nz. Let's take another break. We're playing B.B. King on Take It From Us today, and the next track is called Get Off My Back, Woman.
You're hurting me. Well, you get off, baby. care further down the road. You just get up, baby. Can't you see you're hurting me?
So I'm host of Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, Sheldon Brown. No Declan with us today because we're pre-recording this fairly early on Tuesday morning, and thank you to Planet FM for their cooperation and fixing this up. We're talking today to Beth Nobes. If I remember correctly, you are the Service Delivery Manager for Advocacy, Beth.
That's correct. I have a great fondness for B.B. King as well, but I'm not so sure about the get-off-my-back woman.
Oh, no. I did recognize your exclamation there, so maybe that's a bit discriminatory. I don't know. But the next...
We'll just have to say there's room in the world for all kinds of people.
Absolutely. So we're talking about the All Right campaign, which has been evaluated. Sounds as though it's been evaluated on a number of occasions. But we have seen many news reports, and because I was born and lived my first 25 or 26 years in Christchurch, you know, I have watched closely at the impact of the earthquakes, and I guess my conclusion is that the aftermath of all the insurance difficulties and the red zone, and they're only just sorting out now with the government making an announcement yesterday to try and resolve these deadlocks in insurance payouts. You know, all of that, I think, has been more disempowering and more shocking for those people than probably the impact of the earthquakes.
I would have to agree with you. I think that what happened in our community mirrors what happens for those people who have experience of mental distress. When something traumatic happens in your life, it has a ripple effect for your whole life. So for those of us that we work with, the trauma may have been some kind of violence or a dysfunctional family or something like that, and then that ripples through your whole life. What our neighbors and friends and the, you know, people who live in Christchurch have been able to discover is that something violent and traumatic that ripples through your life, it doesn't go away. So 6, 7, 8 years later, even if you're not a person still fighting with the insurance company, because that is a huge challenge, you still find yourself being a little bit shaky, a little bit tentative, checking where you are. I know a lot of people who still look around a building when they go into it to find out where the second exit is, and who won't go into some place that's got a big glass atrium, for instance. So how do you have to redefine yourself if 6 years later you're still feeling a slight panic attack over some parts of town? Well, now you have to define yourself as a person who's got an ongoing vulnerability. Maybe just like your brother-in-law, you never understood before, but now you've got a bit of a better picture of it.
You mean that brother-in-law is the one with the mental health experience?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes. So did MAPS... experience any sort of big increase in demand at any time over this over these years?
Well, it has, and as I said before, there was a delay in it that confused us a lot. But then once the delay was over, there was definitely an avalanche of communication. But the other thing that happened is because MAPS operates as a peer support organization, it is so different. So our way of approaching people who've got challenges is in a very accepting way. So you walk in the door and there's no kind of judgment. We don't want to know a diagnosis. We don't care. We're more interested in what it is that's brought you in. So what brought you in might be a challenge with work and income, or it might be that you've expressed, you know, you've experienced discrimination around mental health, or it could be that you're just out of hospital and you're kind of disoriented. It doesn't matter to us what it is. Let's start from where you are. And because of that, our reputation has grown and grown, and therefore there's more and more people. There are a lot of GPs who make an automatic recommendation to people that they contact us. Because we're self-referral, then the word of mouth can be really effective out in town. So if you're attending a group at, I don't know, Pathways or Salvation Army even, then you can share with your neighbor about this place that you went where they were kind of nice and they let you talk and they listened to you.
Yeah, can I ask you, Beth? I mean, one of the things that seems to be missing, and maybe MAPS is filling the gap in Christchurch, but there are very few places where you can just drop in. I mean, there isn't the drop-in centres have been sort of outlawed, I gather, by the funders, and so the community mental health organisations won't run them. But where can we go if we're feeling really down and just walk in?
It's an excellent question. We still do run a social kind of activity, drop-in type thing. It's not really a drop-in, though. It only operates on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you have to be a mental health service user to use it, which is fine for our community. But if if you're another person out there who doesn't have a label, then you don't think that you can go there. MAPS is only open from Monday to Friday, and we work at rostering somebody on between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock every day, so that if you wander in the door, there is always somebody who's available to talk to you.
Right.
But, where do you go in when you're having a pretty bad day? We actually put together an expression of interest to try and establish a crisis cafe, actually.
So you're thinking you've got an expression of interest out in your Christchurch community to establish a sort of a crisis cafe. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that's what we were hoping to be able to do. There was there's a real hole. There's a crisis response team in specialist mental health services, and they work with, really deep crisis, but they were understaffed, and they also had a challenge between the difference in definition between a psychosocial issue and a clinical issue.
Right, the psychosocial issues, or the people presenting with those, were probably rejected.
Well, yeah, they didn't really know what to do. They didn't have enough staff. If you couldn't throw medication at it, this is a mental health radio, so we do get to be a little bit honest about how things go.
Right.
Psychiatrists are trained specifically for clinical disorders as opposed to community, gaps in community support kind of thing. So that always made it a bit difficult. We didn't get far on the crisis cafe at the moment. That's just going to sit there until, who knows, maybe the CDHB will decide to use some of their new mental health inquiry budget money to do something like that. They could. We have a very good DHB here. What they did put in place, which is another really awesome project, is a peer-staffed alternative to acute care. So there's a 7-bed house that if you should be in hospital, but maybe you don't have to be in hospital, then you can go into this. It's a very interesting mix of clinical and peer.
Right.
So there are plenty of clinicians around and plenty of advice around medication tweaks if that's what's necessary. But the people that you're talking to all day, every day, are actually peer workers. So that's a terrific project. We're really looking forward to how that goes. It's very new, and I think it only opened in April.
So that's like, it operates like respite.
No, we have respite. It operates like a hospital that's not in an institution.
I see. Oh, well, that's been operating just this year, and have you had any sort of feedback at all as to how that has impacted, the range of mental health services in Christchurch?
I have been told a couple of things have gone quite well. I haven't been told by anybody yet that anything's gone badly, but I don't, even though I'm in the middle of things and people tell me everything, I haven't I'm not in a place where I would have heard very much yet. It's only been a couple of months. Right. But our advocacy team, eventually, if anything's going, there's a big problem with advocacy. If things are going well, we never hear about it. So we could assume, since I haven't heard anything, that it must be going quite well.
Mind you, you know, it's seven beds. It's not a lot, is it?
No, and they're very careful about. I think one of the things that has been a problem in hospital, people are very distressed and they're very at risk and they need to be in a safe place. But sometimes the people who are in hospital are quite challenging to be around. And this offered an opportunity to kind of split away the very delicate and vulnerable people who wouldn't benefit from being in a place where some people were quite loud and persistent and challenging in their expression of their difficulties.
Well, Professor John Reed, who was very outspoken, could never understand why you set up acute psychiatric hospitals and put all of the distressed people in there. You know, his view was that was just going to intensify the distress.
Well, I think we actually see that pattern quite a lot. In Canterbury in the last few years, there's been quite an increase in the use of synthetic drugs, and a large number of the people who use those become quite violent and dangerous, but there's nowhere to put them. Mm-hmm. You can't just leave them locked in police cells for 3 or 4 days until they come down. And you would like there to be people around who could have a conversation with them about the long-term effects. But if they happen to be in the same psychiatric hospital as a profoundly anxious person, you can see how that's not going to be a good fit.
No.
So that's an alternative to acute care. That's going to be a really nice addition to the services available in Canterbury.
Well, let's take another music break, another track by B.B. King, and this one is Let's Get Down to Business.
Left me, baby. I nearly went out of my mind. I couldn't hardly sleep at night, baby. Every morning I woke up crying. Oh, let's get down to business. Hey, let's get down to business. Well, let's get down to business, baby. You've been gone such a long time. I know that I love you, baby. And I thought that you loved me too. Now that we're together, baby, tell me, what are you going to do? Well, what made us break up, baby? I don't know till the day. But if it was my fault, baby, I will change my way. So let's get down to business. Yeah, let's get down to business. Baby, you've been gone such a long time. I say I thought that you loved me too. Now we're together, baby. What are you going to do? I said whatever made us break up, baby, I don't know till the day. But if it was my fault, baby, I swear I'll change my ways. So let's get down to
That's our last track on Take It From Us from B.B. King called Let's Get Down to Business. And we've been getting down to business with Beth Nobes, our guest from Mental Health Advocacy and Peer Support, shortened up to MAPS. Beth, I'd like to talk to you about Quiet Minds, the Plains FM mental health show. You are the sort of, supervisor of that?
Well, it's very interesting. I don't know if I'm the supervisor or the general dog's body. Back in the day when I started at Psychiatric Consumers Trust, I was the administrator, and so my job would have been to type up the notes and to produce the schedule, like the paper copy. We're not saying fill in the blanks or anything. And that that gave me the opportunity to work with Debbie May, who's been the producer for about 13 years. She was one of the original people working on it. And she and I have seen a number of people come and go over the years, but we've been the only two consistent people who are planning it and running it.
So she's the broadcaster or just the producer?
She's the broadcaster and the producer. Because she didn't want to be. She never wanted to be interviewing anybody. She's too shy. But eventually we were short of interviewers, and so she figured out how to get over her shyness and be an interviewer. I have been interviewed a number of times because I talk easily, as you can tell, and because I'm so connected to so many different things in town that I usually know something about whatever new is going on. But we take advantage of the number of people connected with MAP, so a lot of times the people we're interviewing might be staff here or people that we've met through here. You know, there might be musicians who've been coming to a group and they would like to show their music. Just last week I did an interview. I didn't do an interview. I did a show that was around ADHD, so I found a particularly good TED Talk that was about ADHD by a woman who has it. So it was a peer perspective on ADHD. So that fits right in with our Kaupapa, which is to be a consumer-run, consumer-focused show. And so then I could play that TED Talk and then offer all of the options of things that are available in Canterbury for support if you have ADHD. So that's, you know,
right. That was fun. So who...
We're interviewing somebody about mental health and the workplace. Yeah.
Who funds the Quiet Minds?
We used to have really reliable funding from the Christine Taylor, it's been a couple of years now, fund which was associated vaguely with Richmond Fellowship, Christine Taylor Fund. But they wrapped up their fund and gave it all their money and retired. So now MAPS is doing it all on its own, and that's very kind because, you know, no organization has too much money. So it isn't a whole lot of money in a year compared to the rest of the budget, but it is still very kind of MAPS to continue to pay that broadcasting fee. Everybody else does it by volunteer, so nobody's paid. Deb's not. My work lets me do the Quiet Minds work in my regular work time, so right. That simplifies things. Yeah.
How long has it been running?
14 years.
Wow. Yeah, I'd like to think there might be a little bit more collaboration between the two mental health shows. I mean, I did have some connection with Phil Snapes, I think his name was, and I interviewed him, and he may have interviewed me on occasion. We have the New Zealand Radio Awards coming up on Thursday, and Take It From Us is a finalist in the community access radio. I think we're up against a show on Plains FM. They are one of the other finalists. Yeah, so maybe off air we could talk about that, you know, later in the week or sometime soon.
I think it's a good plan, Michelle, and I'll have to tell you that your show kind of scares me because though today is being pre-recorded, and that's all because of my poor schedule, Quiet Minds is always pre-recorded. And Quiet Minds is only 30 minutes.
Right.
So I don't know how you put together a weekly show that's an hour long and live. That's that's really commendable. You've got my admiration.
Well, I've been possibly trying to get out of it, but it's meant that I've carried on working at the age of over 70. So, yeah, so it's kept me employed, and I'm very passionate about it. But I must say, there don't seem to be any people coming out of the woodwork with, I don't know, some journalistic skills, some connection in the mental health sector, and some passion to do this.
It's a matter of getting all of those together, isn't it? There are lots of people who would like an opportunity to get into broadcasting, but if they haven't got mental health experience, then they don't fit our kaupapa.
No.
And if they do, then they've got lots of other things to do. We have a person who interviews really, really well, and we've interviewed her heaps, but and that's Hannah, and she ran the Divergence Festival down here, and she was good for a good 4 interviews around that. Yeah. But she also works and runs a festival and has a business on the side, and so you can't just tap her every week to come on in and talk about how awesome she is.
No. Well, we better finish this off. We're running out of time, Bess. So thank you very much for your insights about Christchurch, my hometown. I think about it a lot. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And I'll just remind people that they can find what I've been talking about by Googling evaluation of all right, and in particular, evaluation of all right in Tangata Whaiora, to get the statistics around our own community and its response to the All Right campaign.
Mm, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, I have a news item here out of the United Kingdom which stresses that doctors should be urged to prescribe woodland walks for mental health problems. There is a trust in the UK called the Woodland Trust that says the Japanese practice of forest bathing should be prescribed on the national health system to tackle stress and other mental health problems. According to the charity, hugging trees, listening to birdsong and kicking through leaves are all activities that can boost mental health. The trust is urging GPs to prescribe forest bathing for mental health conditions and direct patients to their nearest woodland. This forest bathing stems from a Japanese art called Shinrin Yoku. The practice was devised 40 years ago by the Japanese Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, was part of an initiative to tackle stress among men. The activity involves breathing deeply and absorbing the atmosphere of the forest as a way of yielding calming, rejuvenating and restorative effects. Participants are encouraged to immerse themselves in the environment and take in the sights, sounds, touch and smells of the forest. Now, this was listed on Facebook, and some of the local response was, one said, "I think most of us instinctively know the benefits of getting out into nature. It's way over time that our DHBs started to help people with alternative therapies. All I've ever got from my DHB is medication. And I've had a gutsful of it. It's made me fat, lowered my immunity, and has not cured the schizophrenia a jot." So she says that there needs to be a big change, and this person is very keen for DHBs to promote such alternative therapies as forest bathing. Well, let's take it from us. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday at 12:30 on Planet FM 104.6.